We will go back to the book of the beginnings, Genesis chapter 1, and re-examine the first verses of Genesis chapter 1. Some of these things we've heard before, but we have to keep reminding ourselves of these things that we hear. The greatest challenge that a true believer will have is keeping that word that he has received from above. We as men have the capacity to forget so easily. See, Jesus Christ gave the parable of the sower. You see, and he talked about the category of, you know, seeds that fall, you know, on the ground, and the birds of the air just come and take away the seed. This shows how, to some extent, some of us are illumined with the truth that we hear from above, but circumstances of this life that we live in, this world that we walk in, at times come to, you know, snatch away this word that we have received. See, this world that we walk through represents the abyss realm, pure darkness where there is no knowledge of God, no knowledge of truth. So the ones that will be worthy to appear with the Lord as he appears are those who are able to steer up themselves and aggressively retain these things that they have heard. These are the ones who will be worthy to appear with the Lord as he appears before this world. Praise God. But remember that our blessed hope, our blessed hope is to be gathered unto the Lord and to appear with him as he appears before this world. Titus chapter 2 verse 11 says that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present dark world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. The appearing of the great God and the Lord, our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, the appearing of Christ. See, when we retain this truth, when we keep ourselves and walk in the light as he is in light, we appear with him as he appears. We appear in the glory of God. We appear as Christ. For we are him. Paul says that when the Lord, who is our life, appears, we appear with him. The message is the fifth trumpet. The message to the church in Smyrna says that those who have kept their garments undefiled, those who have kept their garments white, will be worthy to appear with the Lord, to appear by his side as he appears. These are the ones who have their names written in the Lamb Book of Life. Now, why does it say those who are worthy? Worthy. It's those who are worthy because they have, you know, notwithstanding the grand opposition, the contradiction that they face from the outer world, these ones have been able to keep themselves in the word of truth. They've been able to keep their garments undefiled. They walk in the spirit at all times. They are ever watchful in the spirit. faith, walking in the grace, that grace that has appeared. See, these are the ones that have applied truth to their lives and have denied the lusts and the vanities of this life to take a hold of that life that the Lord has promised for those who follow Him in the regeneration. So the challenge is to keep ourselves so that we can appear with the great God, with the Almighty God. We can appear and manifest this great thing, you know, that occurs from age to age. This is our chance. That's why we share these things. That's why we keep ourselves stirred up with psalms, with articles, in fellowship and whatever. We just have to keep the fire burning. Let us be like the wise virgins, you know, who were able to keep their fire burning. They were able to keep their lamps burning, burning with truth. Praise God. These ones went out to buy oil. We talked of the word of truth. See that the oil, the Holy Ghost has been given to us freely. See, but we have to apply these things in our life. We have to stir up this thing in our life. See, to those who have, more will be given. To those who don't have, that which they have, what they seem to have, will be taken away from them. When we increase in truth and occupy ourselves in truth, we increase in Christ. But when we go to sleep and we are idle, you only give chance for the wicked one to take over. You see, at times you just discover yourself doing certain things, you know, that are contrary to the ways of God. You find yourself at times losing your temper. You find yourself doing certain things that will probably make you feel disappointed in yourself later, simply because we are not, you know, alert in the spirit. If we are not watchful, He only opens the door for the wicked one to tamper with our peace. Praise God. Paul says we should be mindful that the devil roams around like a lion waiting to destroy. See, when we are not watchful in the spirit, when we don't continue in the truth, we only give, you know, an open door to the accuser of the brethren to enter in once more and to bring those railing accusations into our lives. So there must be continuity. Praise God. Genesis chapter 1, let's go back. Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is a prophetic, you know, view into the state of man who has descended from the peak of Zion into becoming a mere mortal. Praise God. That darkness that covered the face of the deep, that earth without form, void, empty, all describes the state of a man who is not illumined with truth. Praise God. The sea and the abyss talk of the realm where men live in relation to the flesh. These are men who are governed by the carnal senses. They walk after the flesh, and they only live in relation to this outer world. That is the abyss realm. And as long as a man lives in this realm, he lives in the realm of nothingness. This is the dimension in which men continuously drown in what is called the sea of perdition. There's a continuous drowning. It never ends. It's a bottomless pit into destruction. That is the abyss. That is the world. See, destruction and hell knows no bound for those who walk after the flesh. Praise God. Do you know that underneath the sea, some of these oceans in the deep and all that, you know, there are some of the points underneath the sea that men have not been able to get to up to this very day? There are certain depths underneath the ocean, underneath the sea, that notwithstanding all the technology that man has, they've not been able to get to those points because of the unbearable conditions there. Even robots have not been able to get to some of the deepest parts of the sea, of the oceans. These are the deeps. This is the abyss. And the further you go down, the darker it gets. Darker. See, when you see the creatures that live underneath the sea, you notice a lot of them have got light. Some kind of light over their head or whatever, so that they can find their way underneath that, in the deep there. And you see how distorted the animals are, the creatures that are in the deep part of the sea. They look like freaks, spooks, very ugly and very distorted views, distorted forms. This represents the state of those who have inhabit the abyss realm, a realm of nothingness. Praise God. If you look at the meaning of those words, darkness, without form, without void, it all talks of misery. It talks of sorrow. It talks of pain. And all this, you know, describe the state of man as he walks about, you know, in the flesh consciousness. Praise God. Any man that is born of a woman experiences this darkness, this abyss state. See, where destruction knows no end. Praise God. Even Jesus himself experienced this realm. Jesus himself, being born of a woman, actually tasted of that abyss state that we see in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. See, this is the realm of death. See, Jesus descended from the peak of Zion, the heights of creation. He descended from God, from the heart of God, into hell, into the lowest part of the earth, which is the abyss. And he tasted of this, the horrors that men suffer today. See, where you have fear, anxiety, emotional pain, lack of faith, and all these things that men suffer, know that death reigns there. You know, the feeling of the fear of death itself is a fruit of death? Why do we fear death? Have you thought of it? Why do we have, as men, a poverty consciousness? Why do we as men have this sense of being incomplete, imperfect, naked? Where did these things come from? It is the darkened state of the heart of man. See it? It is the state, the consciousness that man possesses where he feels himself as something separate from the eternal Spirit of God. You know Jesus Christ too experienced that thing? See, that is why he had to ascend. That is why Jesus Christ will confess, "I go to the Father." He had to ascend back into the reality of that consciousness that he and oneness that he had with God. "Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before this world was." Meaning that he tasted of the depths of the world. The world is the depth. The world talks about the dimension where there is no knowledge of God. It is the flesh realm. He tasted of it. He tasted of a life separate from God. When we hear of the death of Jesus, we only think of the cross. But remember that he's being born as a woman, from the womb of a woman. He's testing of that flesh form represented death. Praise God. He experienced it. That's why he had to be glorified. That's why he had to ascend back. Jesus Christ knew that cloud, you know, that spirit that hovered over the face of the waters. The Bible says the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. The Spirit of God in reality is that glory cloud that hovered over the face of the waters. And that is where God dwells. That is the gathering, the body of the gathering of Elohims, of gods in God. That cloud represents a spiritual body. It's a living body. That cloud is the body of Christ, in whom dwells the totality and the fullness of what? Of God. That cloud is an embodiment of light. It's an embodiment of everything that God is. Jesus Christ descended from that realm, from that cloud, and tasted of life in the abyss as a man born of a woman. He tasted of that realm of limitability, the realm of torment. Where men sense themselves as something apart from God. He tasted of it. So you see, he understands our situation today. You know that? "O ye of little faith, with your worries for tomorrow," worries about the future, worries about dying or not dying, worries about what happened to your late parents or your late child, "O ye of little faith, ascend higher, come up hither. Ascend higher into the glory cloud of God. Ascend back into that conscious union that you had with the Father from the beginning, where you know in reality that you are one thing. There is no I and God. God is my life." So Jesus Christ in his flesh form experienced what it meant to be annihilated from the life of God. He experienced it. Praise God. Why do we fear death? We fear death because we think that, you know, our life after the flesh is our life. See, we are ignorant of the fact that the life of God is our life. We're ignorant of the fact that everything that the Father has is ours. We're ignorant of the fact that we are perfect as He is perfect. We're ignorant of the fact that even as He lives, so we live. You see, somehow we are born into, you know, fleshy sack bodies, and we have kind of limited ourselves to that body, flesh body. And we formed an environment for ourselves in the abyss, thinking that we can get some kind of cover, some kind of protection, with gathering riches unto ourselves, making a name for ourselves, and all the glories of this world. That is the realm of the abyss. But the more you try, the more you discover how futile, you know, your goal is, how impossible it is for you to attain to that place of satisfaction and peace. Forget it. The more you try, the more you need. The more you get, the more you need. See, it's continual sorrow and pain. Forget it. As a man in the flesh, it's continuous drowning into death, into the abyss. Praise God. Jesus Christ knew that His life, He knew His origin was in that cloud, in that body of God. Praise God. And that is why He says, I go to the fire. Today, we must recognize that the only way we can enter back into the joy of our salvation, the only way we can get fulfillment out of life, is to recognize that we descended out of that cloud. We have to recognize that that life in the cloud is our life. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. We must get this revelation and let go of that life upon the earth. It's very, very important. Oh, hallelujah. Now, some people argue that, how can this be? Are we trying to say that Jesus Christ tasted of death? Now, if you come quickly to the book of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, let's read what the Bible says concerning Jesus in the days of His flesh. The Bible says, who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save him from death, and was made, and was, you know, heard in that he feared. Though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Praise God. Are we listening here? He had to pray. He had to make supplications unto him that was able to save him from death. Praise God. This was why early in the morning, Jesus Christ would wake up while the disciples were sleeping. He would go out to be alone. He was always in a meditative prayer state. See it? Every move that he made was a prayer unto God to be heard on high. See it? He always, his desire was to be delivered out of that lowly consciousness, that realm of torment and anxiety. He tested of it. He knew what he meant. And to get back into the realm of all sufficiency and all power, into the realm of the Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega. Praise God. Today, if we have fear in our lives, the worries, the torments of men, and all these things that create that environment of hell, we must first of all recognize that why we suffer is because we have lived in the lie. See, we have lived ignorantly after the flesh, and the time has come to ascend back. Hallelujah. And this is what the Lord is doing today. Jesus Christ says in Matthew chapter 24, I'll read the version from Mark. Mark chapter 13, verse 27. And then shall he send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of the sea. Now this is the coming of Christ, which is an event both individually and corporately, universal. Because Christ is always coming. He comes from generation to generation. Of course, the manner of his coming is always a source of controversy. The manner of his coming is always hidden from the world. See, you don't hear his coming on the CNN. You don't hear his coming on the Fox News. See, all these are secret events that the world is not aware of. The world normally will go about doing their thing and, you know, and that's all. They never know what is happening. He comes like a thief in the night. Praise God. Now he's appearing. Praise God. And he's sending his messengers. He's sending his messengers and he's gathering his elect, you know, from the earth, from the uttermost part of the earth. Praise God. And he uses this by sending the four winds. The Matthew account, Matthew chapter 24, says, you know, at the sound of the trumpet, he sends his angels to gather his elect from the uttermost part of the earth, from one part of the heaven, underneath the heavens. That is the uttermost part of the earth. Talks about the depths, from the depths, the very, very depths. He's gathering us out of the abyss. He's gathering us out of the great sea of perdition. He's gathering us out of the darkness that constitutes this world, back unto himself in the clouds. This is what the angels are doing. This is what the four winds of God are doing, which is the Spirit of God. See, the Spirit of God comes like a whirlwind. Have you seen a whirlwind? When a whirlwind comes, it takes along with it everything that is in its path, isn't it? And it lifts it up. That is how the whirlwind of God comes. The Spirit of God comes and it lifts the people up from the abyss back in to the uttermost part of the heaven. Isn't that what we read in Matthew? Sorry, in Mark chapter 13, verse 27, it says, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of the heaven. That means from the depths, the very depths of the earth, which is the abyss, which is that darkness, that realm of nothingness, of void, that we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and is gathering them where? To the uttermost part of the heaven, which is the peak of the heavens, which is Mount Zion, which is the realm where God reigns and sits absolute. This is the highest dimension. It is the realm of perfect peace, stillness. Hallelujah. A realm of bliss. Praise God. This is the only place where a man can find true fulfillment and satisfaction. Praise God. We are being gathered today. This is what the wind is doing. This is what, that's why we hear messages like this. It's causing an awakening. Praise God. Those who are dead in the, you know, in the abyss, see it walking in the flesh consciousness, working in relation to a material world, in relation to time and space, and all the parameters that govern this natural world. He comes to snatch them out of this realm of death, and he lifts them, hallelujah, to the uttermost part of the heaven, which is the pinnacle of Zion, where they now live and reign in God. This is the glorification that Jesus Christ had to undergo. That is why he himself was caught up into that cloud at the end of his ministry. At the end of his ministry, Jesus was taken up in that cloud. That is the spirit. That is the spirit of God. That is the cloud of God. That is the wind of God that hovered over the face of the waters. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. Praise God. So he's gathering us unto himself. See it. Hallelujah. We who have been subject to vanity as a result of the ignorance that was in our hearts, we lived after the flesh. And we know we pursued the lustful desires of men, thinking that we can get some kind of cover from these things. He delivers us from that and takes us back into the pinnacle of Zion. It's a great thing, brethren. Praise God. What if, you know, the four winds, which is the Spirit of God, what it does is actually bring an awakening within us, where we can recognize the celestial attributes within us. Praise God. It disperses the darkness over our minds, over our consciousness. See, it destroys that thing that has veiled us from the reality of our celestial attributes. See, it is the conscious realization of that thing which is inside of us, which has been hidden in us, that we are gathered among the myriads of angels in the clouds of God. Because that cloud is a body of innumerable spirits, perfected spirits that form the body of Christ, the body of God. Praise God. This is the illumination and sparkling that is the four winds of the Lord does within us. It is the recognition of truth and adherence to truth that causes a lifting up out of the abyss. Oh, praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. When we hear the truth and walk in the truth, we shall know the truth, and the truth will set us free from the chains that have held us and tied us in the great deep. Praise God. Paul talked about certain things we just discussed briefly. He says that we all shall be presented before the throne of God's judgment to account for everything that we have done in this body. Of course, that gathering unto God's, you know, the judgment of the great day of the Lord is already present. The four winds of heaven, which, like we say, is the Spirit of God, gathers us before the throne of God, whether you like it or not. See, once you can begin to perceive the voice of the Spirit, bear in mind that you are already being presented before the throne of God. See, and the throne of God speaks of judgment. Now, the manner of judgment is what we're going to briefly talk about now, because it's very different from what we've taught the judgment of God is. See, in the past, we thought probably judgment of God means when we die, we go to heaven and, you know, we see a big throne, and God will ask you, what did you do on earth while you were on earth, and this and that and that, and, you know, your books will be open, and, you know, if you did good on earth, you'll be shown the way to heaven, to paradise. While if you did, you know, evil things on earth, you'll be shown the way to hell. See, but it is much, much deeper than this. Praise God. It is much, much, much deeper than this. Hallelujah. If you turn quickly to the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 11. This is revelation insight into the judgment of God. Because as the Spirit of God gathers his people, they are all brought before the judgment seat of God. Every man must appear before the judgment seat of God. Praise God. Once you begin to hear the voice of truth, you automatically appear before the judgment seat of God. That is why you will discover that you cannot do things the way you did years ago. See, that's why you find out that you cannot, you know, kind of run away from his presence anymore. Once you hear this message, you can never run away from God's presence ever again. Because the reality of this is invisible presence becomes real to you. So it is now up to you to agree with him or to continue on in rebellion. But we can be rest assured that when a man continues in rebellion and refuses to adhere to truth, to conform himself to truth and to honor Christ, you can be rest assured that he will find no rest day and night. Even if it takes a million years, he will find no rest. We've tried it before. See, we've tried it and we know what it only leads to: greater sorrows and pain. See it. Your condition only worsens. See it. And you'll just be chased to and fro by wind. You see it. You begin to live a life of guilt and things will never be the same for you. Once you hear the truth, you can't get away from that presence of God. You must agree with him to enter your peace. Praise God. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven also fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small, great, and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, everyone according to their works. And death and hell was cast where? Into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was what? Cast into the lake of fire. Praise God. So you can see, as the Lord summons his people, or he summons the world by the four winds of the Spirit, they are brought before the throne of God. See, those who are brought out of the sea, the Bible says that the sea gave up the dead. The graves gave up the dead. Hallelujah. Death and hell gave up their dead. See, the realm of the sea represents that same sea we saw in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, where there is gross darkness and, you know, ignorance, where there is no knowledge of truth, where men are subject to wasting, corruption. So, but every man must be presented before that judgment seat of God, and that thing is happening right now as you are hearing the voice of truth. We are being summoned to that place where we can, you know, stand before the presence of the invisible God. The presence, that invisible presence becomes more and more real. That presence that filleth all in all becomes more and more real as you hear the truth. Praise God. And it's up to us to agree with Him. We agree with Him when we walk in the truth. And when we continue in the lie, see, in the vanities of this life in the flesh, we disagree with Him. And automatically we are judged. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. That white throne judgment is already happening. Hallelujah. We're all standing before that throne right now. That is why we must patiently work out our salvations. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ says the hour cometh when those that have done good will hear the voice of the Son of Man. The voice of the Son of Man is the same as the wind. It all talks about the secrets of life, the depths of truth coming streaming forth from the heart of God. Those that have done good go to eternal life. They're raised up into eternal life. Those that have done good are those who conform to Christ, who patiently conform themselves to Christ, who recognize this message of truth and conform themselves to Christ. Doing good is all about recognizing Christ as our life and confessing Christ. Daily conforming ourselves to Christ. That is the perfect will of God for our lives. But because in Christ, it's only by Christ that we can be saved. It's only by Christ that we can rediscover the Father, our oneness with the Father. Only by Christ that we can rediscover ourselves back in the paradise of God, in the clouds. This is the will of God that we return back into this union. See, it is not pleasurable, neither is it the will of God to see men die and suffer in ignorance. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Our books are being opened. We are books. See, that we are being judged according to what is written in these books. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says that there was also a book of life which was open. And those whose names were not written in the Lamb's book of life. The Lamb's book of life is simply Christ. Those that are found in Christ are those who will escape the horrors and the torments associated with rebellion against the truth. Praise God. Those who will enter into life in harmony with God are those who find themselves, their names written in that book. These are those who do the will of God. Simple. And it's not some book in heaven, upon a desk somewhere in heaven. See, the last book of life is Christ. And when we walk in the truth, we have our names written in that book. When we keep in remembrance the things we hear and walk worthily of the lamp, walk worthily of the name of the Lord in watchfulness, spiritual watchfulness. Keeping our garments in truth, our garments of righteousness. See, we have our names in that book. See, but those who don't have their names in that book are cast into the lake of fire. Praise God. To some extent, some of us pass through that fire. Most of us pass through that fire. Because the fire is actually that which purifies. See, the fire is something that consumes anything that comes in its way. it. The fire is that which consumes our mortality. It consumes the beastly instincts in us. See, it consumes all those sensations, all that feeling that we ever had that we thought we are separate from God. It consumes all those doctrines, all those beliefs, all the lies that has molded us after, you know, after the image of the beast. Oh, praise God. Because we know it, flesh and blood cannot inherit God's kingdom. That which inherits God's kingdom is spirit. The Lord is spirit. So to enter therein, we must be conformed. There must be a purging. Praise God. So the fire of God's truth, some can call it the fire of God's love, the fire of His presence, consumes anything that is a lie. That image we bought for ourselves as human beings is destroyed in that lake of fire. See, all this is done so that we can be partakers of the new heavens and the new earth, where there is no more death, where there is no more fear, where we can walk in the reality of the life of God, a life without end, where we can see the beauty and the peace of God, where we can walk in the total authority of God unhindered, where we have unhindered access to everything that God is, where we consciously become aware that all things are ours. Isn't that what is written in the last chapter in Revelation chapter 21? To him that overcomes, he will inherit all things. Praise God. It's either you have all things as God or you have nothing. Praise God. Hallelujah. In that consciousness, this poverty, sensation of poverty is no more. I'm rich and poor. All that thing doesn't exist anymore. Because all things are yours. In that consciousness, there's no fear of death. Because you continue living. Because He lives. As He lives, you live. You reign as He reigns. Praise God. All this happens as the Lord summons us today from the depths. We are being summoned, we are being gathered continuously unto Him. See, prophecy is something that is being revealed over and over in us. Praise God. The winds are gathering us. The trumpet is blowing. The angels are gathering the elect from the depths of the sea. It's gathering the elect from the realm of death and hell. Gathering them unto the presence of the Lord, unto the judgment of the great day of the Lord. Praise God. And those that do good, those that conform themselves to Christ, are granted entrance into Christ's kingdom. While everything in us, whether flesh believes and everything that is not of God, is cast into that lake of fire. Everything that pertains to dust, everything that pertains to the illusion of our lives as humans is destroyed. Hallelujah. Everything dissolves. The fire dissolves everything that stands in its way. Praise God. The fire dissolves the lies that have tied us to the beggarly elements of this world. That is where you have your tribulation. Praise God. The lie dissolves all that sensation of a life apart from God, of a life of our own. Praise God. So that we can enter back into the flow of the Spirit, consciously knowing that I am the Father I want. Oh, praise God. Where we enter back into the clouds. Hallelujah. The city of God, the new Jerusalem, Mount Zion, all that is within the cloud of God, the glory cloud of God. And that is where you have the fellowship in light, our union in light, our eternal union in light, in fellowship. This is the mystery that God is revealing today through the church, so that people can recognize that fellowship in the clouds. Praise God. And so that people can be partakers once more of that fellowship, because outside of that fellowship, we are dead. So let us be mindful of these things, brethren. Never fainting, never being discouraged, but continuing on in the revelation of Christ. Hallelujah. Continuing on in the ascent onto that perfection that the Lord is demonstrating to us today. Hallelujah. We can enter into a realm of perfect stillness where there is no more fear, where the worries are no more, where you walk in the absolute power and faith of the Alpha and the Omega. Praise God. These things are present and they are happening right now. Hallelujah. So we should stand faithfully in the truth. Stand before the light. See, when we stand before the light, every darkness in our hearts, every ignorance in our lives is dissolved. Hallelujah. And we can consciously reign in that freedom, that glorious liberty of the sons of God, knowing that all things are beautiful, knowing that all things are ours. Praise God. This is the will of God for us in this hour. Hallelujah. Amen.